So I'll be talking today about willingness of women living with HIV to participate in a video group behavioral intervention, what I think and my study team thinks is a novel strategy for expanding access. I want to acknowledge my funding, but also we all know that it takes a village to do this kind of work, and I've had numerous students as well as community partners involved in this project, and I'm very grateful for their involvement because without them it wouldn't have happened. I have no financial disclosures. So, as many of you know, Prevention for Positives initiatives have been deemed important for controlling and reducing the HIV epidemic in the United States. One component of Prevention for Positives is promoting sexual risk reduction as a means of preventing further HIV transmission. So we've talked a little bit about the DEBI program today. Many of you know there are about 28 programs in the DEBI program altogether. Of those, there are 5 interventions that are specifically for people living with HIV, and 3 of those programs are group-based. So the CDC does an excellent job of providing training and technical assistance for community-based organizations that are interested in offering these interventions, and yet there's still a need for expanding access. One of the issues is that people who are living in more rural or remote areas often cannot access such programs. Even though there's free training, you have to get to the training, and it has to be worthwhile for the CBOs to administer the programs. So clearly, there's a need for some innovative strategies that can expand access. So I want to tell you a little bit about video groups as we've conceptualized them. Video groups work kind of like group-based video conferencing. Who's done video conferencing in the past? Group-based video conferencing? Keep your hand up if you have. Okay. So a fair amount of people. So you have a somewhat of a sense of how it works. In our conceptualization, each woman accesses the group from a separate computer with a webcam or from a specialized video phone. We have decided that it makes sense for women to access the groups or the video phone or the computer through community settings rather than from their own homes. And we can talk a little bit more about this decision, but from our perspective, it seems that it's extremely difficult to guarantee privacy if people are doing this in their own homes, both for the individuals who are sitting at their own homes in front of the screens, but also for all the other people whose pictures are on the screens in those homes. So we can talk more about that if you'd like. An advantage also is that expert facilitators are centralized, so you don't have to have as many facilitators, you don't have to send people to, or as many people to the trainings, and you can have more control over the quality then of the facilitation. The goal of the present study is to explore the willingness of women living with HIV to participate in a video group intervention. So we recruited 91 women living with HIV from 3 HIV/AIDS clinics in the Tampa Bay area. Women completed a structured in-person interview with a trained graduate student regarding their experience with computers and video conferencing, their willingness to attend any group for women living with HIV, and their willingness to attend a video group for women living with HIV. And I'll talk about all of these today. We had a mean age of 43 years, which is reflects, I think, the aging epidemic. Not to suggest that 43 is aging, but for that to be our mean age suggests we're not talking about 21-year-olds in this study. And reflecting the disproportionately high rates of Black and African American women affected by HIV, we had 66% of Black and African American women in our sample. I don't have the data on the screen, but most of the women were relying exclusively on governmental assistance and did not have a separate income, were not employed for pay. 87% said that they had ever used a computer, so pretty high overall computer use. 51% said they currently had a computer at home. Oops. We asked, how often do you use the internet to send or use the internet and or send and receive email? And we found that about half said they use the internet or email at least once every few weeks. So not as frequent internet use as those of us in the room, most likely, but still fairly engaged in internet use. About 68% said that they were comfortable or very comfortable with using a computer. So again, this is a group that has some experience. Many of them, even given the older age group, are comfortable with computers. So we asked them about their experience with video chatting or video conferencing. And as we saw in the room, when I asked people to raise their hands, a lot of people in the room had experience with video conferencing, and yet we didn't expect that most of the women we'd be talking to would have that experience. So we asked them in a kind of complicated way that we hoped made it clear. The next question is about video chatting or participating in a video conference. Since some people may have done video conferencing at work, but video chatting can be done at home or just about anywhere. Video chatting includes using a webcam or camera to stream video while talking with someone else or to conduct live meetings or presentations online. And we went on to give them a few examples and ask them if they had ever participated, and in fact, only 16% had. So next we wanted to know if the women were generally willing to attend a group for women living with HIV, because obviously it stands to reason that if they weren't willing to attend any old group, they probably wouldn't be willing to attend a group over the video phone. And in fact, we found that 82% of women said that they would ever be willing to participate in a group program that dealt with being HIV positive if they knew it would be a private group and all members would have HIV. Our next task was to try to explain what exactly a video group would be. So we showed them this illustration and then read this question. Imagine that you could go to a private place to use a computer and talk with other women living with HIV. You could see their faces on the computer and hear them, and they could see you and hear you on their computer. A person would be nearby to help you with using the computer. Two group leaders who specialize in talking with women living with HIV would help lead the discussion and would lead in some activities. Would you be willing to try out a program like that on a computer talking with other HIV-positive women? And surprisingly, 71% said that they would. And we also had an additional 12% say that they might be willing to do it. We wanted to explore factors affecting their willingness to attend a video group, and we found that the only factor that was associated was willingness to attend any group. So not so surprising, again, that if they were willing to attend any group for women living with HIV, they were more likely to be willing to try out the video group. But this suggests that willingness to attend a video group may not be contingent upon experience with computers, internet, or experience with video conferencing or video chatting. And that's certainly very encouraging, considering that many of these women at least didn't have the specific experience with video conferencing or video chatting. So of course we had several limitations. Our sample was relatively small. We had a somewhat older age group, but I also think that's kind of a strength, because if you look at the fact that so many of these women were willing to try out a video group, and they tend to be older. You think about younger women who tend to be higher users of technology. It seems likely that we would have at least as high of an uptake in that group. These were also urban women, and I'm really eager to find out whether or not these results translate very well to a rural setting, where I think that this kind of video group delivery is really critical. And these women were willing to talk with us about HIV, so of course, the rates of willingness to be in any group or to be in a video group are probably higher because they were generally willing to talk to anybody about living with HIV. We asked them about their willingness to attend a video group at an AIDS service organization, not at other community locations. And as we think about extending this to rural areas, then we have to think that there may not be AIDS service organizations in those locations. We're much more likely to be talking about delivery at a public health department or some other safe space in the community where the participants feel like they can go and do this with some confidence. And of course, we only assess perceived willingness, so it remains to be seen to what extent these women who said they were willing to do it will actually agree to do it when we knock on their door or call them on the phone and say, hey, now we have an opportunity for you to try it out. So in conclusion, video group delivery of interventions for women living with HIV does seem to be a promising strategy for expanding access. Many urban residing women living with HIV seem to find this strategy acceptable, especially if they're generally willing to be involved in a group for women living with HIV. Clearly, we need research to test the efficacy and uptake of video group interventions, especially in those lower prevalence areas where group-based behavioral interventions, and specifically thinking about the DEBI programs, are often unavailable. I think I have time to tell you a little bit about next steps. We're very excited to be currently conducting a pilot and feasibility test of video group delivery of healthy relationships to women living with HIV. And I'll thank Toby for saving me a little bit of time by explaining what healthy relationships is all about. That's one of the DEBI programs. Women will participate in video groups via video phones, and they're just like the ones you see on the screen. So you can see that there's one person has kind of top billing in the screen, and then there's several other people on the screen. We're going to have seven participants and then two facilitators on the screen simultaneously, and the person who gets that top billing spot is the person who's talking, except if I'm talking and I'm looking at my screen, I don't see myself in that big box. So it's actually very neat, and it's an HD video camera, and I think it's HD audio as well. It's really crisp, and we're excited about getting it out there into the community locations. And we have it right now where we're going to put it in three Florida counties. One is rural, but for the most part, we're really trying this out in an urban setting, mostly because we can get to it a little faster to deal with any technical issues and sort out all the kinks. And then the next step would be an R01 to test this in more rural areas. Right now, we're comparing the video group to a waitlist control, looking for changes in self-efficacy and behavioral intentions for disclosure decision-making and sexual behavior. We're also examining changes in sexual risk behavior. If we can demonstrate effectiveness of video group delivery, I think there's a lot of potential for this in the future, especially in terms of setting this up in locations like public health departments and rural communities, and then offering programs that aren't just limited to people living with HIV. We could offer healthy relationships, but we could also offer diabetes education at the same place and offer breast cancer support groups and any other groups that would be valuable to the community. And what's great about that too is if we can get to that point, we can also reduce the stigma associated with showing up to participate in this kind of intervention. Okay, so my time is up, and if you have any questions, then I look forward to hearing from you via email. Thank you.